So Rav Yosef Yuzel Horovitz, the Novominsk, the Nevardika, the Alt of Nevardik, has a philosophy, a methodology in Musa, which is called Shviras Hamidos. So let's discuss Chemdas HaMamon as one example. Man loves Mamon, you know, and he spends so much of his time and his efforts trying to amass wealth. So this is a very common kind of midah. And Rabbi Yuzel would ask in a very naive sort of way, is $1,000 that a person would gain in his property, is that going to make him warmer? My mother used to say, is it going to warm up your bed? Meaning, if you have the money you need for breakfast, lunch, and supper, then beyond that, who can eat? You know, you can't stuff yourself. You'll just regurgitate it. If you have enough begadim, according to Rav Yuzel, you don't need that much. So why amass wealth in order to buy more levushim, more malbushim? What sense does it make to waste your time, your precious time in life, trying to amass more money when you have enough money that you need to get by? And therefore he puts his emphasis on what's called histafkus b'muot, that a person should be happy with what he has and it should suffice him. You know, the son of the Rambam wrote an entire work, an ethical work, Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam, on this mid of histafkus b'muot, that you should be satisfied with what you have. Eat the normal food. You don't have to stuff yourself. You don't have to buy the most expensive delicacies. And you'll enjoy life. Who says that you have to be a rich man, amass wealth, and then have these feasts? What do you gain by that? What do you gain by wearing the wonderful, beautiful suits of the rich people? You know, the $500 or $1,000 suits, whatever they cost today. He says it's all a product of our koch adimyon. You know, we have sort of like a fantasy and we imagine what it would be like if we were rich, you know, like in Fiddler on the Roof, if I were a rich man. And it's all fantasies that are based on vanity. And in order to break this chemdas hamamon, we have to begin to train ourselves to be happy with what we have and not have these aspirations to be the wealthiest person in town. Then he has the mid of gaiva, of kina, of kas. He says these are, again, all vanities. They're all a result of a person living in a fantasy world. Oh, I'm going to be, you know, like him. I'm going to be the movie star. I'm going to be Mr. Universe, right? A Miss Universe. Why is he so bothered by this? You know, if somebody else is rich or somebody's getting honor and he has to be jealous. And what would be if he had the wealth of so-and-so, or he had the dignity and the honor of this first-class statesman? Would it really add anything to his life? Would that pleasure be so meaningful for him? And he gave a mashal. He says there are two people who are buying, let's say, a matbea. I'm not sure exactly what this matbea looks like. But Hishpati Eschem Bitzivos Obayalos Asadeh is a pasuk in Shir Shirim. And, oh, I see what he's saying. Not a matbeh. Forget about the word matbeh. That was my mistake. He's talking about the nature of a deer. Teva Hatzvihu Shebe'esha Rotvinoso Borech Layar. I think we may have touched on this. I'm not sure. So the deer, when you run after, he feels threatened, he runs into the forest. But he has very long and windy karnayim, what's it called, horns on his head. So what happens is, he gets caught in the foliage of trees that will slow him down because he can't get through because of his horns. So he starts breaking his horns off in order that he could run through the forest and find some sort of secure place without anyone disturbing him. And he says that's a mashal for our life, chaya olam as he calls it, this the life in this universe, in this material world. And all of life is like one forest. And a person has certain character traits. He calls them midos, and they are represented in the mashal that we gave by the horns of the deer that are separated and complicated to go in this direction and that direction. So a person is full of these different traits. And he says that if he doesn't free himself from the bad traits, then ultimately they get all tangled up in the foliage, in the growing tree, you know, the leaves that are growing on the trees and the branches of the trees. And he gets to a point where he has to stop it dead in his track, and he's totally confused. And all this is because of his bad traits. However, he says, if these karnayim, if these horns, as we say, are not a creation of the, it's not a figment of his imagination, then b'kocho l'gadeo sam kidugmas hatzvi, what he can do is, if he overcomes all these fantasies, he can cut down the horns, which are the evil traits within him, and then he'll realize that the branches in the forest are not complex at all. You know, they're not adversaries that try to catch him and slow him down. He has to realize that all of man's complications in life, all of his challenges and his suffering, einam boim ele meyatzo, they really come from within him. Midimyon umimidosa, from his traits and his imagination, his fantasies. If he can free himself from those fantasies, then he can go on the right path. Now, this idea of einam boim ele meyatzmo, if you want to underline that, I heard from the Rav Zichron Vracha in one of the tshuva drushes that he gave, which was in Manhattan. And he spoke about the Soyer Lazazel, and what is the power of the Soyer Lazazel to be Mechaper? And why are we throwing this out to Lazazel? And he said that most of man's frustrations in life and his psychological anguish is brought on himself, by himself. It's not because of objective or situations that are forced upon him by other people. It's something that he suffers from himself. All sorts of anguish, all sorts of imaginations. And in the Soyer Lazazel, what we're asking for is that Hashem should take all those energies that he himself misused and brought him to the state of sin, and inspire him with those very same energies and those same traits to bring goodness into the world, to bring Hashem's glory into the world. And if the Soyer Lazazel is successful, then the magic of the Soyer Lazazel is to be mechaper not only for what God brought upon man, like, let's say, for example, there are situations beyond your control and you suffer as a result, that's certainly divine punishment. But even that which I brought upon myself, which is 99% of all my suffering, even that could be considered as Yisurim Mechaprim, as suffering which grants Kapara. But I only mention this because when I see Einam Boim Ele Meatzmo, that man is really the source of his own anguish, it reminds me of what I heard many, many years ago from my Rebbe. Now, let's talk about what he calls targilim. Targilim means exercises. And these are called, in the language of Rabbi Uzal, avodas hapratim. Meaning that now we're getting down to, like, brass tacks, to nuances. Let's choose a certain midah or a group of midos, and let's dedicate a certain amount of time simply to focus on those midos and utilize exercises and training sessions in order to break those bad midos one by one. However, we have to realize that the purpose of these exercises was not in order to rectify those midos, but mostly to break those midos, to free oneself of those of the midos, the ethical character traits that incarcerate us and impede our spiritual progress. So we're not talking about training ourselves in a midah, but we're talking about training ourselves in a way that we break a bad midah. And here on page 255 in Rav Katz's book, there's a paragraph here that starts Amnon, and he writes the following. He says that in most midos, we should go down the middle, what the Rambam calls the Shvil Azav, the golden path. But he says there's certain evil midos that we can actually use those midos instead of going to the other extreme for certain human purposes, such that a person should have control over these midos, and if he directs them in the proper way, the way that God would be, you know, to fulfill the will of God in the proper time, in the proper place, then he doesn't have to go to the other extreme. Why? Because he's using those very midos, channeling them for the good. And if he can do that, then successfully he may be able to free himself, completely free himself, and then he could just go back to the normal lifestyle. He gives the following mashal. He says, imagine if you have a circle and you want to make a circle into a straight line. So what you do is you twist it, or you relocate it to its other extreme, and then it can go back right into the middle. However, he says, "In bismanimr gilim kach, the amim elu, in our generation, how much more so, hamidos nifritzu." We're facing a situation where these character traits are just taking over us, you know, in a very extreme way. Then we must find methods, even if they're very radical, to avoid these midos. So again, according to Rav Yuzel, there are two basic approaches, and both are correct. Some midos, you can use them or rechannel them for purposes that are constructive in this world. Other midos are so evil that you have to simply break them, and you have to go to the other extreme sometimes, as the Rambam says, in order to break these midos. And here Rav Yuzel, in his own yeshiva, would implement a certain, what he calls derech hachinuch, a methodology for his students, and he gave them training sessions which were very extreme in order to work through the midos and break those midos that have to be broken. Sometimes the people, the spectators, couldn't understand what Rav Yuzel was doing. They couldn't make any sense out of it. Let's take the example of Midas HaTava. A person has a hedonistic pleasure. He wants more and more. In order to break this, the training session would require that a person stay far away from the pleasures of life, to go to the other extreme. And he can be happy with the barest minimum amount of food. He's going to be happy with the most unluxurious kind of sleeping patterns. Instead of sleeping on a bed, he'll sleep on a hard couch. And the Talmidim, the disciples of Rav Yuzel, would sometimes go to an extreme in order to break this midah of wanting and gravitating towards pleasure and more pleasure and more pleasure. And in going to the extreme, they aroused the curiosity of people around them, because they were living and behaving in a very abnormal way. So for example, there's something called chemda. Chemda means I love and I crave more and more. Not just more and more physical pleasure, but I crave even money and possessions. Like we spoke about before, chemda samama. What would they do? they would follow an extreme philosophy, which would say Shali Shalcha, right? This is from the Mishnah Avos, that anything that's mine is yours, V'shalcha Shalcha, and everything that belongs to you is yours. And I think we mentioned last week, and we're turning now to page 256, that the Talmidim in the Vardik, if they received any sort of package, any sort of gift, they would immediately offer it to all their friends, not taking anything for themselves. This is how they worked on breaking the midah of Chemdas HaMamon. They would borrow begadim, one from the other, hats, and other garments, because they wanted to show, it's not mine, I don't own this, I borrowed it. It's as if to say, there's nothing that's mine in this world. And there were cases where students of the Vardik would take the shoes off their feet and lend them to someone else, and they would be barefoot. You could begin to imagine in the hot summer, or for that matter in the freezing winter of Litta, what it would be like if a Navardika went barefoot. But this is the way that he would break the midah of Chemdas HaMamon. He says, Kimat nasa l'minik shekol mishin iznam lo chalifa chadasha lo lof shetchilu me'atzmo. It became customary in the yeshiva in the Vardik that if somebody received a brand new garment, he wouldn't, the first wearer would not be his, he would definitely give it to one of his friends so that he could break his selfish desire for pleasure and for kavod. And all this was in order to break these midos. The people of the Vardik, who were influenced by Reb Yuzel, would wear ripped clothing. And sometimes they wouldn't shave and they wouldn't take haircuts. They would show up in public looking very low, like bazui, and they would humiliate themselves, make themselves into dirt. Very extreme shita. And he writes that bishtach imabrios, behit chashvuto imabrios, when a person interacts with other people, sometimes he wants to demonstrate his ability, his courage. And in these cases, when we talk about the realm of interpersonal relations, Rav Yuzel would be very demanding that we have to uproot from our hearts this weakness, this feeling of everybody has to do it the way I want to do it. I have to be number one. I'm the brave one. And I deserve to be first. And therefore, on the top of his list of ethical training would be a list of actions in which a person would be on the one hand very low and humble, not wanting to take anything from himself, but at the same time he would be very courageous. And that courageousness, that courage, is called amitza or amitzut. Otherwise, in the language of the Sfarim, it's called azus de kedusha. The Mishnah says, "Hevi az kanamer, be bold like a leper. Lasos ritzon avicha shevashavayim." So the Navardik is what we call balei shita. They had an opinion, and they were unyielding. And that's called az. Az meaning tough. Az meaning strong, courageous, non-yielding, non-budging. If you take a look in this sefer called the Gadita, which I have here on the shelf, which are sichot from Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, who's one of the last remnants of Navardik, he learned the Navardik as a bacher, you will see how much he emphasizes and over again this concept of no compromise, of azus de kedusha, of being absolutely sure of yourself, courageous, and being willing to fight until the end for your ideals. And he says, l'matara zu hayorchim tagilim yuchadim, He says they had special challenges and training sessions in which they would have to choose the action that was aza, that was really bold. And sometimes, in order to achieve that goal of azus, of being different, of being willing to go against the stream, they would do things that were very strange in the eyes of the spectators. And he says the following: they brought themselves lidei lag be'enei abrios. They would bring themselves to the brink of the people, the human beings, would make fun of them, laugh at them. Ulchashel bazet kochoteim. Yeshayu mitlabshim b'tzura meguchechet. Yeshayu mitnasim l'chanut shel mitzrachim. And they would ask if you could sell me something, like a pair of shoes. And they would go into the wrong store to ask for the item that's sold in a different store. And all this was to be mavayish themselves and break their mid of gaiva. Now this part of what we're reading here about the methodology of Nevadik, I think, would possibly be what Rav Chaim had in mind when he told the Bali Musar, the Talmid of Rav Yisrael Salanter, that we here at Brisk, we don't need your Musar methodology. Because again, you're talking about a depressing kind of situation where you hardly eat, you're wearing ripped clothes, and then you go out and you humiliate yourself. You humiliate yourself. I mean, the psychiatrist will tell you today that anyone who humiliates himself publicly is really psychotic. I mean, he really needs some basic help. And this is what the Navarikas would do. Imagine walking into a store that sells shoes and asking for nails. What a joke. But all this would be training them with all sorts of actions in all sorts of situations of breaking one's gaiva, of having people laugh at you in order to get that sense that
breaking the ego.
What do you say?
Breaking the ego.
Right, to break your ego. Exactly, break your ego. And he says that there were certain months of the year that were designated for different kinds of shviras hamidos. Okay, let's see if we can. Let's see if we can fast forward to Perek Yud Zion. That's on page 261. Do you have such a thing?
Yes.
Okay. I have one challenge. I got very, very thirsty. The Perek Yud Zion on Nevardik is called Birur Hamidos Fahamase. And he says the following. A lot of this is about what we call self confusion, when a person confuses himself. He says that much of what Rav Yuzel writes about in Madregas HaAdam and in his Musa writings is about working on midos and improving one's actions. And although this was touched upon in many different movements amongst Musar, but there was a special emphasis in the writings and the philosophy of Rav Yuzel that right in the middle was a radical approach towards Birur Hamidos. And Rav Yuzel spends a lot of time trying to understand the roots, the deeper roots of bad midos, of midos rovs, that are deep inside the consciousness of man below the surface, subconscious. And even though we don't see them on the outside, they're there on the inside, and they very often influence a person towards bad actions. They bring him towards evil. And therefore, what happens is, if man's seichel, if his intellect is mitzumtzam, is very limited, and now his body takes over with its tremendous desires, its negios, then what kind of power does he have to subjugate these midos rovs? If he doesn't have the will and the discipline to overcome, for example, his negios of kavod, and he wants to get more and more mammon, and other kinds of midot. So he's involved in self-deception. He calls it mishabshot umat ototo. These are deceiving him because they allure him, and his whole life becomes one link of siluf. Siluf means to undermine truth. Instead of looking for the truth, he's fooled, and he has a whole new set of hierarchy of values, and these are confusing him, and all these are based on his midos roads. Then he mentions kolamekelo magidlo, and I'm not sure what he wants to get out of that. That's a Gemara in Pesachim, and perhaps we'll figure it out when he develops it in the next paragraph. He says that the nature of man is such that he's always looking for kulos. He's only looking for heterim. Again, in our world, if there's a need to look for a heter, we applaud that, we laud that. But in the world of Navardic, if a person is constantly looking for the kulos, and that's all he looks for is the easy way out, then he's bintares asherz bekuf nun tamen. He'll come up with 150 explanations why the sheretz itself is tar, which obviously it's not. So he's living the life of a lie, of fabrication, and he gets further away from the nekudas emes, from the main point of truth. And instead of following what the Torah wants, he wants the Torah to follow what he wants, and everything is about him. So this is the central root of the evil characteristics, and it's all based on the fact that a person does not have the intellectual control or the discipline over his midos, and his midos are just controlling his life. And he has a whole long list of bad midos here, bad character traits and flaws, which will completely undermine his life. His life is converted into a life of siluf, of deviation, of deception. He says that this is a very complicated matter because a person is never sure of himself, and he can never guarantee that he's really righteous. It's always possible that he's deceiving himself, and that which is emes, he's not dedicated to that which is emes, but rather that which is sheker. And in one of the phrases that Rav Horovitz coins in his great work Madrigas Adam, he says Torah Zorah Asher Badalo Mirtzono. He creates his own Torah in order to justify his activities, because he's so involved in his own will and fulfilling his own desires. So it's very possible for a person to work his entire life on midos until he gets to the point where he thinks he's convinced that he is mishupar umetukan, that he's worked so hard at his midos, he gives himself a pat on the back. He says, well, I'm an ideal Jew. And he's really just fooling himself. Once again, he's involved in self-deception. Because the truth is, b'emes midosav rak hechlifu tzura. All he did was, he didn't really break his bad midos, it's just that his bad midos expressed himself in a different way. So it wasn't in this form, it was in the other form. It's almost as if, you know, the bad midos are clogged up in a certain circle, and if you squeeze one out, then another one is going to come to replace the first one. It's just going to go from one place to the other. Midos of rak echlifu tzura. Nothing really on the level below the surface in terms of a person's essential psyche or personality. Nothing. You know, nothing has really changed. On the outside, it looks like he changed, but mitachas, what's underneath, remains the same. And then in the next paragraph he says it's quite possible that all of his belief and his fear is directed towards man. Even when he studies the Torah of Hashem, even when he studies Musar books, Bidibur, and he's speaking or Rayon, or he's contemplating Bekochos HaNefesh with his personality, Einam Novim Miakrosa Emes, his Torah study is not really true. There's no truth in his study Torah. Umekoram Degarmim Tzidadim, there are other side benefits that are influencing him, and that's why he's observing the law. So you could have a case of someone who on the outside looks like he's really steiging, you know, he's learning Musar, he's learning Torah, but the truth is that's not what's really going on over here. His belief is focused on himself, or if not himself, on what others think of him and how they evaluate him. It's not really something that emanates from an absolute dedication to truth. Everything that he does is a result of his own personal benefits, what he calls negiot, anochiot, selfish benefits,
biases.
And sometimes he says that what's really underneath the surface is a recognition of intentions that are much more subtle or subconscious, if you will, that are hidden from the sight, and all sorts of calculations, personal calculations for his own achievement of his own goal. And therefore, it's as if Ose Mizeh Chanus Umischar. In other words, very often,
is in a supermarket, picking and choosing.
Right.
Is that what he means by that?
The form of reason.
In other words, you pick and choose based on what you want, as opposed right. to what's.
So his entire purpose is that others should look up to him. He would rather put people down and bring people up. And now he's using Torah study for his own purposes of inflating his ego and his dignity in the community. Basically, what he does is he's taking the Torah itself, which is a samachayim, that's a drug that gives life, and it's also at the same time, depending upon what your attitude and what your goal is in learning, it's a samamavis. It's a drug that could be life saving. And it could be a drug that could be so destructive. And all this is in his study of Torah. That he's using Torah to project a certain image, but it's all superficial. It's just a fig leaf. It's a facade. And the Torah itself now becomes a sama moves. And that's what the Navi means in Yeshayahu. He says, Mala mincha dam chazir. Mazkir Levona Mevarech Oven. He brings a mincha from the blood of a non-kosher animal. That's not a kosher mincha. And he brings Levona, which is supposed to be part of the Ketores, and really what he's mentioning is something that's called oven. Oven means falsifications. Lefamim mala adam mincha. He brings a carbon mincha. Rotzel karvis atzmo lavodas Hashem. He really has a sincere desire to come closer to the service of Hashem. L'sals madrega b'tikun amidus ayideizeh. But ha'emes he, what's he bringing on the mizbeach here? What is this mincha made of? It's made of dam chazir. The chazir is the animal that represents, you know, the falsification of presenting a facade, but it's not really true. Sha'od mitameis atzmo yeser al yodo. As a result of this whole process, he puts himself in the situation where he pollutes and contaminates himself more than when he started years and years back. And he says, on page on top page 263, he says lefamim at some occasions maskir adam levona, as if to say he's being mekayim dvar Hashem ube'emes who mevarch oven sha'osa bracha al oven. He's making a bracha on something that's like stolen goods, something that's terrible. So what goes first into the heart of man? He finds the Yetzer Pesach kosher. It's an opening that looks kosher. In other words, as if people go in there for a purification process to uplift themselves, L'shem Hashem or L'shem Kedusha, for the sake of sanctity. The Gaon explains the pasuk lefesach lepetach chatos rovetz, which was what Hashem addressed to Kayin. Klomar darko shalachatos lechapes pesach kosher liflosh betocho letoch matzpuno shel adam. So the chatos, which is the source of sin, tries to reveal all sorts of openings that might be wide enough, so to speak, for him to penetrate and reach the subconscious mind. That's how powerful the chatos, meaning the Yetzer Hara, is. And once he finds an opening of that size, b'levush shel mitzvah v'yirah shamayim, who machdir darko la'atlat el eshara, v'holech u'mefafeh b'kirbo, mahapichas machshevosav v'kavadosav, u'machnis erbuvio v'mochach, u'ma'abed es darko, u'bol idei mevocha mibli limtso kol motze. So this process of Knisa Rishona, he calls it Lelibo Shel Adam, that at the very beginning of his career, so to speak, looking for Musar and ethics, he finds himself, as a result of the powerful influence of the Yetzer, Pesach Kosher, as if to say that the Yetzer is presenting him something which is a mitzvah, it's for the purpose of Kedusha. And the Gaon explains that when Hashem addresses Kain and says, Pesach Chatos Rovetz, he meant to say that the method of Chatos, Darko Shel Chatos, is Lechapes Pesach, to look for an opening, and be able to enter into the subconscious level of man's thinking. And this is the power of the Yetzer Hara. So he says, "Liachas shematzliach limtzo pesach kaze b'levush shel mitzvah v'yirah shamayim." Very often, the Yetzer Hara will appear as if he's trying to entice him to do a mitzvah or for yirah shamayim. Who machdir darko laat laat eshara, and this worm, this evil, this Yetzer Hara starts to slowly penetrate the ra into his very soul. Holech mefafeh bekirbo, and then once it enters, it spreads out and overwhelms him, and it converts all his thoughts and his intentions away from Hashem. Machnas irbuvia b'mocho ad shu ma'abes darko uboli de mevocha meblilim tso kol mitzo. At the end of the day, what he's going to find is that he lost his own derech, his own way. He's totally confused. He doesn't know which way to turn to, which is north, which is east. He's totally ma'abed es darko. He's like a person who's a traveler and he has no clue where he is and how to get to his destination. Ubali de mavocha mibli limtso kol motze. Mutza, I would say. It means that he got himself so confused and so in such a complex situation, what he calls mevocha, that he doesn't see a way out of it.
We know that we're doing something wrong, but often we convince ourselves that the chaos is justified.
Right.
That that's that's only because we convince ourselves.
But Kass has a tremendous impact. He says it's not even a punishment, it's like a natural consequence.
Right.